Welcome to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. So glad to have you listening and on this journey with us. And one thing I thought would be so helpful for us is to review the principles of God's economy. And so today we're going to talk about the foundational principles of living in God's economy. We're moving away from talking about this ministry as being one committed to stewardship. And let me tell you why. We're committed to God's principles, to His teaching, but it rolls into a much bigger picture than the connotation that's associated with the word stewardship. So let me ask you, what do you think of when I say that word? Do you know what most people are going to say when I say the word stewardship? They're going to say, a giving campaign must be about to start in our church. Traditionally in this country, it means it's somehow associated with giving 10% of my income, and stewardship somehow leads around to tithing. And that's the very narrow, limited, and I would say incorrect view of the word. Now, in the non-Christian world, stewardship also has a connotation. And for most people who hear that word and they don't relate it to Christian teaching, they think it means taking care of the environment. And that's wrong as well. In their context, it may be right, but from a biblical context, it's absolutely wrong. Because the principles of God's economy start with His lordship. If you omit that, you've missed the object of being a steward. In a non-Christian world, the object of your stewardship is the earth. The earth is the center or focus of your activities, your desires, and your energy. It's what you're here to take care of. But in God's economy, your stewardship is to exalt Him, to make Him Lord over all things in your life, over your time, your talents, and your treasure. He's the Lord and Master over everything. So when He's Lord, then you're in your proper position of being a steward. It's actually your job description. And a steward allows God to lead them in the way they make money, how they manage it, and how they use it. And the ultimate outcome of living in God's economy is that you're generous. So as we start 2010, as we start this new year together, we're going to go back through and look at some of the foundational ways to live in God's economy and review God's principles that cause you to see Him as Lord, to live as His steward, and to live generously in 2010. Well, I hope you're on for the journey. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
What would you say if I told you that in 10 short weeks you could decrease your debt, increase your savings, and strengthen your relationships while growing spiritually? Sound too good to be true? Well, all of these results are being reported by thousands who have completed the Biblical Financial Study from Crown Financial Ministries. This 10-week study teaches you more than practical principles about managing money. It focuses on the life-changing truth of God's Word. Individuals are being transformed as they learn proven biblical principles and how to apply them to their finances. To find a biblical financial study group in your area, go online to the My Crown section of crown.org. And if there's not a Crown 10-week biblical financial study already planned in your area, consider starting one. To find out how, call 1-800-722-1976 or visit crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're starting the new year reviewing the principles of living in God's economy. And you know why we're doing that? Because I want you to understand what it means to be free from the trap and the snares of man's economy and to experience the joy, the liberty, and the peace of truly moving over into an entirely different economy. I don't have much hope in man's economy. And if you do, I would recommend that you listen to this program so that you can withdraw your hope from the things that are happening around you in the world. The world is a tough place. It's a place where if you place your hope and your confidence in it, you're going to constantly be frustrated, fearful, and disappointed. But the first principle in living in God's economy is to see Him as Lord, and you have to start with the truth that God is the owner of everything. He is Lord of all. Listen to Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. That's pretty inclusive. Can you think of anything that's left out that doesn't belong to the Lord? But it goes on. The world and all who live in it. Because we tend to externalize that statement that I look around and I say, the earth is the Lord's. All of this that I can see or feel or touch, that's God's. But we leave ourselves out of that. But the verse says that He owns the world, everything in it, and you too. That's why it's so incorrect to separate the term stewardship from God. Because the object of being a steward has to start with serving God. He has to be exalted as Lord and preeminent over all things, as the sovereign controller of the universe. So it starts with His Lordship. Now, let me go through a parable that I think is going to help you as you think about this truth relative to your own income. Because sometimes we teach a spiritual principle and we think, okay, I believe that, but what does it have to do with where I go to work or what I'm earning on my job or whether I lose my job or how does it apply in real life? Listen to this parable. It's found in Matthew 20. It's called the parable of the workers in the vineyard, and He sets up this truth in a very practical way. Here's verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. Did you catch that? He just summarized that he has his own economy. The kingdom is like a landowner. Who's the landowner? You're not. I'm not. The Lord is. He said, my kingdom is made up of my ownership of all the land. And I go out early in the morning. Isn't that a beautiful picture as you start the day? In the morning, God hires people to work in His vineyard. So He hires stewards. He tells you, you're a steward. He is the landowner. You're the hired laborer. And you have a purpose. The purpose is to go to work in His vineyard. Isn't that a beautiful picture? But look what happened. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. He pays the room and the board. He pays their wages. He said, if you're going to work in my vineyard, I'll take care of your needs. But about the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. And he told them, you also go and work in my vineyard, and I'll pay you whatever is right. So they went out. In other words, his kingdom expanded. There were some people aimless and without purpose. God interceded in their life, and he sent them into the vineyard as well, and then the process continues. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. And he asked them, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? Because no one has hired us, they answered. Now, this story is told in the context of a single day. Some got hired in the morning. Some got hired at the third hour. Some at the sixth hour. Some at the ninth hour. And then some at the 11th hour. And in verse 8, he said, when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired, and then go on to the first. Now, the workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? That amazing parable that we look around and we are not satisfied with the incredible privilege of coming into God's kingdom and serving Him and doing our best in His vineyard. And we say that others are getting more. And I want more because I've done more, or I've suffered more, or I've been out in the heat of the day, or my job's harder, and all this grumbling and all this comparing. And the Lord said, you're my friend, and I've agreed to take care of you in my own way, and you should be grateful for my provision. It's my vineyard. And He even said, it's my money. I own all of it. All of the money in the world is mine, and I'm distributing it the way I want it distributed. I am sovereign, and don't I have the right to do with it what I want to do with it? Or are you becoming envious? And listen to how He described Himself. Because I'm generous? In other words, all of you were treated generously. And just because somebody comes into the kingdom after you and maybe they get more, why would you be upset about that? If you're a steward and you've been given the privilege to have a job working for this generous landowner, and maybe you started in the very beginning and you're weary and your sense of joy you're deriving from being a steward has been waning, can you receive the words of the Lord today when He calls you friend and He says to you, don't be envious of how I'm treating others? Can't you find joy in my generosity with you? Because I'm taking care of your needs. That resets my attitude. That resets my thinking. And we're going to talk more about those principles of living in God's economy when we return. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
Want to use your home computer to help you manage your money God's way? Well, all you need is Crown Money Map Financial Software from Crown Financial Ministries. With Crown Money Map Financial Software, you can create a realistic spending plan and use a virtual envelope system to follow daily. And since it's based on the Crown Money Map, the software will help you build up your emergency fund, pay off debts, create balanced budgets, manage investments, and complete other steps that'll move you forward on your financial journey. Crown Money Map Financial Software is loaded with features to make living on a spending plan easy and secure, including the ability to import transactions from your bank so you don't have to enter them individually. Crown Money Map Financial Software is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. For specific system requirements or for a free trial version, go to crown.org or call 1-800-722-1976 for more information. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today we're reviewing the principles of living in God's economy. And those principles are made up of three major ideas. That He is Lord, that we're His stewards, and that we're to live generously. And we just covered the principle of God's ownership of all things. He's Lord of all the earth. He hires us to work in His vineyard. He gives us our wages. He covers the room and the board. And He wants us to be content with His generosity to hire us in the first place and to give us a purpose to serve Him. Now, it's so important to understand that as a steward, He wants you to have all of your affection centered on Him. He's the object of all of your work, the way you earn a living, the way you manage those resources, and what you do with them should totally reflect your love for your master. That's what a steward does. A steward submits to the will of his master, to the owner, and a steward lives to please the owner. And so the second principle of living in God's economy, once you understand His lordship, is to keep Him as your only master. Anything that interferes, anything that intercepts that desire or drive or ability to live it out, is an idol. It's a substitute. It's a hindrance. It's a snare. It's a trap. It's a deception. It's something that's taken hold of you and impeded your relationship to be available to the landowner in his vineyard. And the landowner wants to be able to say, I've hired you. Now, here's the section of the field I want you to go work. Here's the job. Here's the assignment. Here's the task. I want you to be totally available to me. But what happens out of that envy, out of that dissatisfaction, we start to want more. And we start to strive for more things that we can have in the world and take our eyes off our eternal goal to please God. And so we get enslaved. We get enslaved to the things of the world. And that's why a key principle is to avoid debt. God, the landowner, does not want us to have another master. So listen to this verse, Proverbs 22:7, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. So when you get in a situation where you've borrowed money, where you've created debt, where you've modified God's provision for your life by taking on yourself and presuming on God things about the future, you've actually taken on another master. Now, that's why it's so devastating and so destructive, because go back to the landowner in the vineyard. Suppose the landowner comes to you and says, I've hired you, I'm paying you, I'm taking care of you, and I want you to go and do another task. And you say, well, I've borrowed from this other vineyard worker, and I'm in debt to the other worker in the vineyard, and therefore I can't do what you want me to do. I'm stuck as a slave to this other worker, to the other one in the vineyard. That's why he says you now have two masters. You're bifurcated. You're stuck. And the Lord doesn't want that to happen. He told the nation of Israel to avoid debt so they would have no master. And he's told us the very same thing as his body, that we should be peculiar to the world, that we should not presume upon God, that we should wait upon the Lord and let him renew our strength and let him provide in his own way. And that frees you to be a wholehearted, faithful steward. So we make decisions based out of our conviction of his lordship in our life. If that wanes or is missing or is diluted, then we get ahead of God and we find ourselves in trouble. Here's the third principle. God wants us to carefully consider how we use what he's provided. So when we understand that he's the owner of the vineyard, we're his laborer, we're his steward, and we've avoided debt, he now wants us to carefully consider how we use what he's given us. Listen to this verse, Luke 14:28. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? The Lord wants us to demonstrate patience, wisdom, thoroughness, accuracy, excellence, thoughtfulness. He wants us to show others that when we follow his ways, we don't end up in the same traps as those who do not know him. And so we plan. We become intentional. We live out our life purpose by making decisions that support what God wants us to do. I met a man just recently on my trip to Pennsylvania who said he was on a fishing trip in the remote parts of Alaska, and he found this remote wilderness church, and he wandered into this church over 30 years ago, and that church had a guest speaker that morning. And the guest speaker turned out to be Larry Burkett. And he said that day, he remembers the moment he said it, that you will write your autobiography by the decisions you make with the money that you have. So be careful. Make wise choices. He said it was the only time he had ever heard anybody say that. And he realized that he needed to live with caution. He needed to be very careful with what God had provided him through the business that he owned. And for the next 30 years, he began to change the decisions that he made with how he used the money and the purposes that he spent it for. And as he looked back, he said, that has been exactly true, that you could look at my checkbook today and to see what I valued, what my priorities were, and how I lived out my life purposes by the financial decisions that I've made. Well, today we're going to wrap up on more principles of living in God's economy. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. Crown Financial Ministries is proud to introduce God Provides, a new film learning experience featuring Golden Globe nominee Dean Jones.
What if God told me to do something I did not understand?
Through epic storytelling, this series of six short films presents timeless illustrations of God's never-failing ability to provide for His people. See the hand of God at work in engaging biblical stories that remain true even today in making life decisions. With each film, you'll receive a companion guide with discussion questions and activities to use with your family or a group. God Provides is available now at crown.org or by calling 1-800-722-1976. To learn more about the films, visit crown.org/God Provides.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're starting this new year as we review some of the foundational principles of living in God's economy. And I know that you're starting this new year with some fresh ideas, with some thoughts. Maybe you've even made a resolution around your finances. Maybe this is the year that you want to achieve some of your financial goals for 2010, and that's your top priority. And we want to help you do that. We have so many resources available to you, and that's why God raised us up. We exist in order to serve you in this journey, and I want to encourage you to allow us to help you achieve your financial goals in 2010. One of the goals that you should consider, if you haven't already, is to save more money this year. Listen to Proverbs 6, verse 6 through 8. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. Here's why it's wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet, it stores up its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. What that principle is telling us is that we should be internally driven, internally motivated to save for the future, to be prepared for the winter time, so that when you have a job and when you have income in the good days, in the days of abundance, you set some aside. Not to hoard so that you can live in a superior way to other people, not to live arrogantly, but to be wise in order to share, in order to have a witness of your ability to be generous in God's economy, that you lived contrary to the world. You weren't foolish. That you lived like the ant. You stored, not to build a bigger ant bed, but you stored and saved in order to be a blessing to others who were foolish. That's our opportunity. And I think 2010 is going to be a tough year as the economy begins to slowly recover. And during that time, make the decisions to be wise. Allow us to help you to develop your spending plan, to develop the habit of self-control, to develop the habit of paying down your debt, to develop the habit of increasing your financial margin, to develop the habit of setting aside a little amount of money every month, and to develop the habit of increasing your generosity so that the world and the bondage that you feel from the world begins to lose its grip. That's the freedom that comes in living in God's economy. That's the joy and the peace. That's the great stress reducer, is trusting God and making decisions every single day, a little bit at a time, that He is Lord, that you're His faithful steward, and that you want to reflect His love and His generosity to others that God puts in your life. Well, it's going to be a great year together. I look forward to spending it with you. Write me and tell me if you've been encouraged. Send me an email at chuckbentley@crown.org. Well, you have been listening to Money Life. Thanks for starting this new year off together. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be back again next time.